Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is Dr. Drake.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yeah.
Woo! Welcome to another edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. February the 7th. It is another great, great opportunity to spend some time with you guys, America, share our thoughts. You know, we are in the midst of Super Bowl week, so we got a lot of things to discuss. Some NBA, some college. You know, we got a lot of things to discuss. Baseball, with all little things in that as well. And obviously, just what we do. So without further ado, as always, got to check in with the fellas, see how they're doing. Apparently Rob is definitely ready for Valentine's Day. He's got the Valentine's Day in the background. So, you know, again, it's all
wow.
good. But, again.
I didn't do all of that, by the way.
You're missing this guy, Jake. I know you're jumping on soon, man. But how you doing, JQ? I'm going to go around the horn. We'll get to you, Gary. I know you're already excited, too, to tell your thoughts as well. How you doing, JQ?
Oh, man, I'm good. Yeah, man, I'm good. I'm on my way home. I'll be able to log on. I'm on the computer here shortly. But I'm good. Just running around crazy, bro. Just life.
Yeah. It's all good. Be safe, as always, and we'll see you when we jump on. Rob Ford, how you feeling this evening?
Man, doing great, man. Ready to get this show on the road. Feeling good.
Got a couple
old fashions in me, so I'm good.
Yay!
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Wow, this is going to be fun.
Doing good.
Did the old fashions replace asparagus, I guess is the question. I don't know.
Tonight, yeah, it did. Old fashions replaced asparagus tonight. You know, I was
man,
doing
wait,
my JQ
wait,
on the station.
Now, see, I knew that bullshit was coming. What are you doing? Why are you drinking old fashions tonight?
No, we had a little after work event this evening, so you know, we got a few down.
Okay, all right.
Tipsy on the Zoom, by the way, JQ. So we'll see how that plays out for sure.
I knew that train is never late. I knew you'd go. I knew you'd go throw me under the bus. I knew you would.
Hey, that's the purpose of the show. We're supposed to have fun, right?
We're gonna have fun tonight.
All good. It's all good. Let me get to Nigel as well. Got the full gamut here. Naj, are you on, my guy?
Oh, yeah, what's up, man? I didn't know this was fancy time hours, man. We got old fashions and parasails going on out here.
Apparently.
Oh man.
I feel like I'm not dressed for the occasion. What's up, y'all?
Man, JQ, you missed. We had Naj on last week, and Naj was telling us the stories of how they DoorDashed somebody deodorant because they had apparently had a problem with some funk. And so I hope you got your money back, Naj, number one. So there you go.
Wow.
Yeah, he still owed me that $10, man. I feel like, yeah, an injustice has been done upon me. I tried to help that man and get a few laughs, and this man still don't want to pay me my money back.
Well, like you said, man,
deodorant
is kind of interesting
these days. $10 too.
That's what I'm saying, and the DoorDash too. Woo! All right, we'll transition in that too. So it's all good. We're gonna have some fun tonight. We got a lot of things to discuss. We're gonna have a hard stop right at 12 because everyone's got a lot of things happening. But so without further ado, let me throw the numbers to the show, the number that all the fellas called into, the 424-243-9519 is the way to hit us up. Follow us on X, as they say, at number 12, THMEN Sports. And last but not least, Facebook.com/TalkingSports, the 12th man. We are there in that arena as well. So, fellas, let's kick this off here. We got a lot of things to discuss, and there has been a pretty mass exodus of college coaches leaving for the NFL. I know we get a good chance to talk about this, so I'm right out the gate. You're seeing kind of this interesting transition, and I know some of it has to do, obviously, with NIL. You're having coaches that are kind of changing their role from a traditional coach to kind of a CEO. A lot of things are happening with that, and so this is kind of interesting how this college football is actually changing, and I know this is going to be awesome for JQ because, you know, the Jim Harbaugh started this mass exit. Of course, he took all his coaches from Michigan, Boston College, Leon Cohen, Cliff Kingsbury, all these different names are leaving, and Rob, will kind of kick it off to you, man, kind of your thoughts about what's happening in this instance as well.
Well, yeah, there's also a few guys that left the NFL to go back to college, too. So I guess when it's all said and done, it kind of evens out. But I think, you know, obviously when you got a big name like Jim Harbaugh that leaves the college ranks to go to the NFL, this is, you know, kind of like Jimmy Johnson leaving the college ranks to go to the NFL. This is kind of like when Nick Saban briefly went back to the NFL. So when you got a big name like Harbaugh going back to college, obviously, Steve Spurrier. But, you know, Steve Spurrier didn't put in the work, unfortunately, when he got to
He liked to golf a lot. Yeah, he probably didn't golf. That's hilarious. What's tea time?
It didn't do that guy, Jim Hazen, down in New Orleans any good.
He was talking all kinds of stuff, man.
He said, I'm not going to work them long hours. You can forget it. obviously you got to. You got a big name like Jim Harbaugh going. Obviously, Jim Harbaugh has had some success already in the NFL, taking the team to the Super Bowl and losing. So, I mean, obviously, that's a big blow to the college game. I know JQ is excited, but if you look at the college game in general, that's a big blow. That's a big blow when you lose a name like that on the college level. But obviously, that's a big win for the NFL. And when you look at that division now, when you look at the head coaches, even in that division, Harbaugh's in. You got Harbaugh, you got Sean Payton, you got Andy Reid. So he's going to be competing against two other coaches that won Super Bowls. So, you know, that's going to be a very competitive division. At least we think. You know, we've been saying the Chargers were underachieving for quite some time. Are they underachieving or do they not have the talent, right? So we'll see what Harbaugh can do. Obviously, they got Justin Herbert. He got a quarterback in place to be successful already. Got Derwin James on the defensive side of the football. So we'll see. They got a high draft pick coming up here, too, at number 5 overall. So they got an opportunity to really do some things. And then the other one, were assistants that Andre alluded to already. Cliff Kingsbury is a big, interesting one for me. And, you know, initially we thought he was going to go to the Raiders. Now he's going to the Commanders. And what stands out to me with him going to the Commanders, Caleb Williams is from D.C. Cliff Kingsbury coached Caleb Williams at USC. You know, is Washington going to try to make a move for Caleb Williams at the number one spot? So that's going to be real interesting to watch. You know, there's some people behind the scenes think Caleb Williams might strong arm the situation. You know, we'll have to wait and see if he tries to pull something like that. But that's going to be real interesting here. I think Cliff Kingsbury is going to do everything he can to try to convince Washington to get up to number one and get that pick to get Caleb Williams. So it'll be real interesting to watch. Liam Cohen, offensive coordinator from Kentucky, has been a very underrated coach for quite some time. He's flirted with the NFL the last couple of years, and he decided to stay in college. Now he's going to go to Tampa Bay and be the offensive coordinator. And then Jeff Hafley, head coach of Boston College. So he's leaving the head coaching position to go be a defensive coordinator in the NFL. So that one was, you know, I know it's money, but
it's Boston College.
It's an ACC school. You can use it as a stepping stone if you find a way to turn that program around and win. So that one was another interesting one to me.
Mm-hmm. Boston College.
Hey, man,
Boston College. Come on, man. Doug Flutie
might be walking through that door.
No.
Matt Ryan.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I couldn't help it.
Who else with the Boston College?
I got a question for you guys. With all of these college coaches going into the NFL, do you think it has anything to do with, you know, how things are going to shake up with all the...
Oh, absolutely.
With all the divisions.
All the deals.
Being...
Realign it and stuff? Yeah.
It's the Neil situation, and you know it's a lot. And as Andre mentioned earlier, you got to have a CEO. I mean, all these major colleges now actually have general managers to oversee these kind of things now. So I mean, it's a major business. And you know, look at Jim Harbaugh's situation. Another thing that may have propelled him to the NFL is, hey, the NCAA is on his back, right? And that's another reason. He's like, well, I'm tired of this, but. We got to remember, Chuck, he suspended 6 games this past season and for various reasons, right? So the NCAA is definitely on his ass. You know, he probably don't have to deal with that in the NFL. He's got scouts that can go and scout these players and bring them the information, and they watch the film and make final decisions, right, along with the general manager. So it's all football in the NFL. Whereas the college, you got a lot of other things, you know, with the Neil and, you know, things of that nature, dealing with the NCAA and compliance and things of that nature. So you don't really necessarily have to worry about those kind of things. I think the reason why Nick Saban retired, he probably could have coached another 2 to 3 years. He's like, no, I've done enough. You know, I'm 72 and no need for me to continue to deal with this food.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the piece of it is twofold. In Harbaugh's situation, he said that he wanted to get his alma mater back to where they were prominent, and fuck him, but he didn't. So, you know, that's why he left. And he still has sour taste in his mouth from, well, I mean, you know, I got to get that in. To try to get a Super Bowl, because he's been there in NFL and come to the doorstep and just missed, right? You know, a really good Super Bowl against the Ravens in San Francisco. So when you set out to do what to get to a school that you said, get them back to prominence, and you did that, I think he was always going to want to go back to the NFL and try to get that Super Bowl. But the other ones, man, you talk about being the OC at Kentucky, being the head coach at Boston College, man, you are 2 seasons away from being fired at those schools. So, yeah, you can say what you want to. I understand the NFL fires people too, but in Kentucky and Boston College really aren't places where you look and say, hey, you know what, I can settle down roots. We can win 9-10 games every season. No, you can't. No, you can't. And then, especially with the change of landscape, even without the change of landscape. Man, come on, bro. Listen, Kentucky is only going to be a good feel-good story here and there. Boston College ain't going to be shit. And we know Boston College ain't going to be shit. So he said that. He left Ohio State as a defensive coordinator. He had a thing going, and he left. And they found out that Boston College was still Boston College. So, yeah, I get it. Why those dudes left to take those jobs, even to go from a head coach coordinator, because it feels like, especially for lastly Boston College, that, you know, he had a really rising star being D.C. at Ohio State. He had a really good defense, and he went to Boston College. When you start getting all those losses on your resume, and people look like, is he really as good as we thought he was, even though he's in a bad situation, I think he said, you know, I'm going to cut my losses. I underestimated how hard it is to win at Boston College, even in the bad ACC. So some of those make all of those make sense to me. They just make sense to me for different reasons. But, you know, college football is still big time, don't get me wrong. But the NFL is the brass ring, right? You want to go to the NFL and prove that you can do it at the highest level and win a Super Bowl, and that's the highest achievement in football at this point. So I'm not overly surprised that people are leaving to go to the NFL from college, because it's like going from the AAAs to the majors. Like, you want to go to the highest level and prove that you can win at the highest level.
Yep.
Good enough.
Naj, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, ultimately, yeah, this was going to happen, but I think it's extremely short-sighted. I think these guys are looking at it as, oh, we got the NIL, we got this, and players actually have rights and things. I didn't sign up for this. But ultimately, if you figure out what the new method is, that's how we see dynasties in college football. From Pete Carroll to Saban or whoever, they figured out which levers to pull, and then you just ride that you know, for the years until everybody else catches up. And somebody's going to figure that out. Like, I don't know who, I don't know what program, but somebody's going to figure that out, and they're going to enjoy that kind of success and then walk themselves into the NFL if they choose to do so in a, you know, in a way where they got all the leverage, like, you know, Pete Carroll and everybody else was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I just look at that from that standpoint. Like, I get it. Hey, this is going to be a problem. You got to figure all this stuff out. But figuring it out, that's where the genius lies. That's where, you know, that's where you get, you know, that bust in bronze put somewhere. That's where you leave that legacy. So I think all these guys running from the grind, shout out to Dame Lillard, it kind of feels weird that the moment we get a little bit of player empowerment, these guys start talking about how things are so out of control and this is the wild, wild west and this and that. It's like, wait a minute. You want to look at that NCAA rule book and talk about you ruling with an iron hand and think that was okay? So there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, I know who ain't going to figure it out, Boston College.
I'm going to say, on the flip side, JQ, is that maybe coaches, maybe they want to deal with all the NIL. Maybe they have to kind of compete as well. That could be a situation. I don't know all the details about that. But kind of circling back to what you had said, Gary, is that it's interesting because there's going to be a lot of new blood in the NFL, which I think is definitely encouraging, right? It's not the same old retread coaches. You got some new blood in there, you know, and, you know, same thing as everyone has talked about. You get a chance to kind of see, hey, will this work in the NFL? A lot of the some coaches will, like, especially Andy Reid, he'll look at, hey, what was successful in college and what plays can we kind of incorporate in the NFL? So. That's also pretty cool. I think that you're getting a kind of a new situation what's happening right now, too. So you got all these different things happening. But before we spend too much stuff or time on that first topic, Gary, I want to make sure, did you have anything else to add to that, or are you good as far as
– No, I'm good with that.
The Chiefs – thank you. The Chiefs had a underwhelming wide receiver group, and we kind of made jokes about them earlier in the year about Kadarius Toney and you know, we were talking about how Travis Kelce was hurt, but again, they've made a interesting comeback. Now, again, some of it, you know, can be, you know, attributed to, you know, obviously one of the greatest quarterbacks, you know, in the league right now, Patrick Mahomes, because he's able to scramble, make plays, and he's able to do some things too. But you know, obviously, I was reading something that they kind of did a reset on Toney to kind of like, hey, shut it down, make sure that you're, you know, you get healed. Same thing possibly for Kelce. And then it also helps to have a really, really good dynamic defense, as you guys have seen. The defense has stepped up all that jazz. But what would you guys say as far as how the Chiefs will overcome their wide receiver group? There's no, you know, obviously Tyreek Hill in that, and they've made some huge adaptations, you know, obviously with Deco and whatnot too as well. And a great coaching job at Andy Reid too. So I'll throw it to you, Rob, and get your thoughts about that.
Well, I mean, obviously, I know we touched on this a little bit on last week too. I mean, we didn't think this was the Chiefs team during the regular season that was going to make it to the Super Bowl, right? We just thought this was not going to be that team that were going to make it this far. And when you look at it, you know, Kelce didn't seem healthy. He didn't look like himself. We talked about that. And then the wide receivers were just atrocious, man. It was like they had Andre Peterson out there. I mean, the guys,
damn,
look at, it was slow.
Damn.
I mean,
I can make
know.
Some damn catches. I may not be that fast, damn it, but I can catch the ball, damn it. I can, you know, F that. I'm going to throw that out there. You can say all you can talk about speed, but damn it, I can catch it. Go ahead.
But I think, you know, I know I'm being facetious here, but, you know, I think that the two key factors was when you look at the Chiefs, you know, Kelce looked like himself in the playoffs. He just, like, he just turned the light switch on. The light switch just came on in the playoffs. And then Rashee Rice has kind of stepped up as a big-time receiver for him. They finally got somebody else on the perimeter to step up. And then their running game has been good with Isaiah Pacheco, so they got to keep him healthy. The offensive line has been well. And also they've been getting the ball out of Mahomes' hands quickly, very quickly releases. They've been going to a lot of screen games, short passing game here in the playoffs. Run after the catch has been key for them here in the playoffs so far, but also their defense. And their defense has been outstanding. And and how they've been able to turn that around. Chris Jones up front. They got one of the youngest defenses in the league as well. Trent McDuffie, all pro as a second-year corner, first-round draft pick out of Washington. Majarius Sneed, fourth-round pick in 2020, has been outstanding as well. Justin Reed, who I think has the highest cap number on their defense. So they have been, when you look at it, the defense was always there this year, and they've kept it up in the playoffs, but the offense finally starting to see some light here in the playoffs, particularly with Kelce, Rashee Rice, and Isaiah Pacheco. Then, of course, you got Mahomes.
That's what I said. They were trying to figure out on the fly. They were used to having Tyreek Hill to take the top off the defense and have Kelce run underneath, and it was real easy, and you could just sprinkle in a run game to keep people somewhat honest and keep it nominal. Now they had to say, hey, we've got to lean on this defense. We've got to lean on this run game. And those are the two things I was going to say, Rob. It's Pacheco on that run game and that defense, and they just had to find out a better way or a different way to do it than what they're used to doing it, right? So you got to give Andy Reid enough some credit. It took him a little longer than we thought it would because, you know, hard heads, soft asses. But, I think they figured out, hey, we got to run the ball. We got to play defense. And we just don't have the firepower right now on the outside. Rashee Rice has stepped up in that role. MBS actually has a couple really tough catches in that Baltimore game as well, especially that fourth down catch that iced the game for him. But it's really been the combination for me is that, hey, I can't do all the bells and whistles because I don't have the weapons. How can I make do with the team I have? You can run the ball. Two things that always works in the playoffs if you can do it. You can run the ball. If you can play defense, all those things travel in the playoffs, and that's what Kansas City doing. That's why they are in the Super Bowl. Fuck them, but that's why they're in the Super Bowl.
What I would say is, that running attack, you know, with Pacheco, him running angry every time he has the ball. Instead of getting a couple of yards, he ends up getting 4 yards, and they're not behind the chains. And then, you know, after Rice and Kelce, the wide receivers drop off at just a couple hundred yards for the entire season, really, for all the other guys. So we thought early this season, you know, midway through the season, that hey, Kelce is getting, you know, aging before our eyes. We thought this was going to be the end of them. He gets in the playoffs now. Mahomes gets in the playoffs, and then they're just like they were a few years ago. They're just ready to compete and ready to potentially win again. Hats off to him. That defense is phenomenal, too. You know, just over 17 points a game. That's good. That's really good.
Right. Yeah, man. It's like, okay, like analytics in football is a beautiful thing. I'm glad it's in football now and it's making the game better. But this team building thing where we all decided, well, you got to get a quarterback on a rookie contract, see, and then everything else. Well, team building doesn't necessarily work out like that. Sometimes you have to build the team around the draft picks that pan out. And Kansas City has rolled sevens on a lot of defensive players in the past few years. And because of the Mahomes contract and them having to offload so many offensive weapons, they just had to steer the team in that direction. Like, I never saw this coming, them making it to the Super Bowl with that wide receiver group. But Andy Reid and company adjusted and said, okay, we're going to win games like this, time of possession. We're not going to turn it over. We're going to allow our defense to play. We'll punt if we need to. And ultimately, Pat Mahomes' career is a reverse Tom Brady. He started off with all the weapons, Tyreek Hill, prime Kelce, similar to what Brady had with Moss and Wes Welker and them. And now Mahomes is in that early Brady stuff where Brady was out there with number one defenses and all they needed was about 17 in Vinatieri and they were taking down Super Bowls. So it's kind of weird how you see those careers. You know what I mean? They just went the opposite way.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good point.
Good point. We'll talk about that because, you know, we had some feedback as far as we talked about this last week is Brock Purdy a game manager, right? That's been the whole thing. But then if you think about it, Tom Brady was a game manager too, right? You know, because, you know, he wasn't blowing out teams whenever they were winning the Super Bowl. You know, and that's all, you know, like a good point guard, you have to kind of like manage it. If you have a great assist to turnover ratio, you don't turn over the ball, then you're managing the game. And we talked about that last week as far as how –
in the second half of the Baltimore game, Kansas City didn't score, but what happened? Patrick Mahomes was able to keep the ball, didn't turn it over, made some good decisions, kept the game close, and they were able to pull out that that game, you know, so it's good stuff. We are now going to talk about some Super Bowl predictions here, and we're not sure if JQ is going to even care about this. We already talked about this last week, but, you know, again, so this is pretty interesting because obviously and this is interesting, right, because, you know, again, everyone knows that my whole family's from California, so we're all 49er fans here. So, and you're going to get, you know, obviously one of the greatest quarterbacks right now in the current situation here, and he has done what was impossible, winning on the road for two games. And the thing you got to watch out is, you know, as dynamic as that offense is, you know, and we've talked about the growth of Brock Purdy, it is interesting, right, because, you know, you're hoping that this is the moment's not too big for Brock in this instance, because this is the Super Bowl, right? That's the challenge you got to deal with. That defense can be had. I mean, obviously, you're showing what happened with Detroit. They made some really good plays, and that's the situation that you have with the Kansas City, right, because everyone's like, man, this is Patrick Mahomes. If the 49ers get off to a slow start like the last playoff games, it's not going to be pretty by any means. And they may make a nice little comeback. You have all this history with Kyle Shanahan not closing the deal. So right now I can see how everyone is leaning towards the Chiefs because of all of those particular situations. The defense is playing well and whatnot too. So it's kind of tough. I mean, obviously, you know, my heart's going for the 49ers, obviously, with the family here. But, you know, I can see it going to the situation where the Chiefs, as far as all the elements that we talked about. I know, yeah, you hate, you know, it's in your division. You can say all you want. You know, 49ers were whipping up on the Cowboys. It's all good. If you're looking at kind of a situation kind of logically, you know, that's kind of what happened.
We whipped up on the Browns.
There's some things, right? If you're Kyle Shanahan wants to prove that he can close the deal, right? He's been there. Talked about what happened with Atlanta, 28-3, all that crap. You know, the past couple times he hasn't been able to close. So there is a lot of pressure on him to actually do this. But then you're going against, like you said, Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes versus, you know, Purdy, you're always – it's almost like no contest. But then you talk about how great the weapons are for the 49ers. But will the Kansas City Chiefs defense neutralize that? You know, can they neutralize that running game? Is Brock Purdy going to make a mistake? Is Patrick Mahomes going to play out of his mind? You know, can he do all that? You know, so again, this is going to be an interesting game, and I can see everyone's kind of leaning toward the Chiefs. I, you know, my heart's going to go, like I said, 49ers, but I can see how everyone's going to go for the Chiefs for that too. So, you know, there you go.
You got a score?
Yeah.
You got a score you want to give us?
27. So I'm going to go like 28-24, 49ers. How about that?
You know, I think the 49ers are the better team. I really do, but I'm just struggling to pick against Patrick Mahomes here in this game. You know, going to the old JQ philosophy, you pick the better quarterback. And I'm really struggling picking, even though I think the 49ers are the better team, I'm just struggling to pick against the Chiefs. So I'm going to pick the Chiefs in a slight upset, 23-20. And find a way to pull that game out. You know, I think they control the time of possession. I think the defense get the necessary stops. You know, maybe hold a 49ers to a few field goals here and there. And I'm going to pick the Chiefs. I don't know if I'm picking with my heart because I want the 49ers to lose because I hate them. And but I'm picking the Chiefs to win on the slight upset
here. I love the way that sounds.
I think Gary and I are the same boat on here. We hate the Niners.
Yes, we do. JQ, go ahead.
I'm not picking this bullshit. You go ahead and go for it.
All right.
JQ, hate them both.
I hate them fucking both.
Well, I had the finishing touches on it. Let's go. Bang, bang, Niner gang. 13-6. CMC.
Thirteen to six.
I think those athletic linebackers, 49ers, are really fast. And if they take away the middle of the field and Kelce doesn't eat, and they just say, hey, our corners aren't great, but can those guys win on the outside? And I think we get an ugly, frustrating game for Pat Mahomes. And there are some changes. After this game, I do not expect the key cards for Valdez-Scantling, for Kadarius Tony. I do not expect those key cards to work back in the facility.
No.
Oh, man.
I think San Francisco's good enough to score more than you know, that average that the Kansas City defense has given up. I think San Francisco can score 24 points on Kansas City. The problem is Kansas City's going to score 27 points on the 49ers.
Yeah, it's like we talk about it. It's tough to
I
no,
hope the lights
no,
go out.
Not, this is no. Yeah, I mean, funny, JQ. Both sides are good arguments, right? Because you're going against Patrick Mahomes. I mean, this dude has been playing his ass off, man. Especially the past playoff games, you know. So I can see how everyone's like, hey, this is a guy. Brock Purdy is still young, man. I mean, he's made some progress, but this is a huge stage, right? Now you've got enough weapons. You know, there's a lot of things, you know, we appreciate what Kyle Shanahan does to kind of put his quarterback in a position, but you can't get out to a slow start like we've had in the past couple of, you know, playoff games. The defense can be had. I mean, the linebackers are fast, but there's a couple of things, too. Like I said, you are going to have to – I like you said, you know, Naj is like, hey, you know, can Kadarius Toney, this is not Jerry Rice, but you can't take it for granted, obviously, but it's just a situation where, you know, can they make enough plays? So it's going to be interesting.
Jerry Rice,
game
that mofo ain't Tim Rice. Jerry Rice.
That's fair. I'm going to say any receiver. I'm with you. That's funny. Tim Rice, Rasheed Rice, Kimama Rice, Tony Rice, any Rice you got, too, man. So
Jackson,
talk with that.
Yeah. Jasmine Rice.
Yeah.
Ain't none of that shit working.
That's funny. Freaking coconut rice over here. Hey, I'll go back, Rob.
And while my one outlier is,
I mean,
we get a dominant game from Chris Jones, and he just ruins everything in Kansas City wins. But I'm leaning more towards my 49ers. Because Chris Jones clearly is on all the steroids, all the HGH, everything, because he's throwing around grown men like little boys.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Rodgers.
That's funny. I am going to really quickly go back, Rob, to what you're talking about with, you know, what's happening with the 49ers, excuse me, with Commanders. And it's kind of a domino effect, right? If the Commanders are able to kind of trade up to number one, we'll see what happens with that, because I'm sure if that's the case, that pretty much means that the Chicago Bears are probably going to hold on to Justin Fields, right, if that's what the case happens too. So, again, we're kind of curious to see what happens when those dominoes kind of fall. That does affect, obviously, the Falcons, because that means, you know, obviously we're going to talk about what's happened with that. That will change up our offseason. So we'll see how those dominoes fall. Whenever I saw that, I was like, you know, because, again, I know he had interviewed for the OC for the Chicago Bears, and he didn't get that or even true from that, because maybe he had another deal under the table with the Commanders. And like you said, Rob, because Caleb Williams is from the D.C. area, there's a lot of, if there's smoke, there's fire. So I'm kind of curious how those dominoes will fall and that kind of affects what's happening for the future, too. So that's going to be interesting.
They tried that
I'll
once with Dwayne Haskins, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
Also from the D.C. area.
Well, one other thing I'll mention too here, Andre. If they trade, if the Bears move down to number two, I mean, there's a chance that they will. If the Bears move down to number two, there's a chance that they would, you know, keep Justin Fields, but there's also a chance that they'll draft Jaden Daniels, who
interesting.
A lot of people say the Bears are extremely high on too. So
they
there
like,
is also that.
Yeah.
So there's also that chance that they would take Daniels at two and still trade Fields. But, you know, so we'll have to see how that all shakes out. Yep.
What if they drafted Jaden Daniels number one? That would be fucking hilarious.
That would be.
It's the most Chicago Bear thing ever. Again,
it would be. You can't rule that out.
They have never had a good
surprise.
They've always made the wrong decision. Like, they've always done
it. Surprise.
I just don't see him moving off that number one pick. I think Caleb is the prospect that you want to have in any draft, and I just see them just hanging up the phone on Washington or whoever is calling. Dude, they got everything there. DJ's already there. You know, you draft another receiver or two. The weapons are there. Cole Kmet, you got a nice running back committee. Like, just fill out the rest of the roster.
And they got the number 9 pick overall, too. So you got the number 1 pick. You got the number 9 pick. You come out of this draft with 2 first rounders, and there's no telling what kind of haul you're going to get for trading Justin Fields, too. So if
and
you
the
get
thing,
Caleb Williams, you're going to get a huge haul to go on top of those 2 first round picks you already have.
And also the thing about it, too, is that Justin should still be that guy. But you think about the Bears moving off number 1 last year. They could have had CJ. You watched the CJ act a fool for Houston. Say you do that again and Caleb goes somewhere and balls out. Now all this pressure you put on now Justin Fields to match those 2 dudes and they'll be interlinked forever because you didn't take CJ when you could have. You traded out and you gave that to Carolina so they could take Bryce. But you could have stayed there and taken CJ. And now you move off this one. If you say that for Justin, that I mean, there's pressure anyway on him. Don't get me wrong. But if you do that in back-to-back drafts and you don't take one of those quarterbacks and you stay with Justin and those and Caleb or whoever goes there has success, now Justin has to be unworldly good to justify that decision. And then the pressure is not only on him, it's everybody in the building. So I think it's really going to go on that. Damn, do we pass number 1 twice on the quarterback for something we don't necessarily know about right now? I just don't see them doing that. I think they're going to stay there. And then either they draft up, go down a little bit, but that's tough to do twice, back-to-back.
And they passed over Patrick Mahomes for Mitchell Trubisky back in the day, too. So that's another situation that they have to
Andre, you got to add the spice on that. They got bamboozled by the 49ers who bluffed them and said, oh, we like that Mr. Trubisky, boy. You better move up if you want to secure the rights to Mr. Trubisky and got them to trade everything to move up and draft a quarterback nobody else wanted.
Wow. That's true. So this is where all of that comes back into fruition where, you know, kind of Naj, you may be right. Like they probably hang on the phones like, man, we got to make up for that situation that happened because especially if his comp, there's no way. I'm not saying he's going to be like freaking Patrick Mahomes, but that's a similar comp to what they're saying that Caleb Williams is. So they're like, you got to hold on to that pick. And like you said, you're going to take some lumps, but, especially if you're not sure about Justin Williams, as they're saying they're not sure about, Justin Fields. Justin Williams.
Who the hell is Justin Williams?
I just made up like 2 names. anyway, that's kind of a situation that happened, too. And apparently, Patrick Mahomes wanted to play for Chicago. So you talk about all that history, which is crazy, right? So, again, live or learn.
Kansas City.
Yeah, it's all another conversation. Sorry. That's what, we're looking at stuff.
Nobody on Kansas City.
We talked about this last week.
Barbecue instead of deep dish pizza.
Chicago over Kansas City. I don't give a damn about the food. I'm talking about the whole city. Might want some of them damn Kansas City. Sorry, go ahead, Andre.
And let's call it what it actually is, lasagna. But go ahead, Andre.
The deep dish pizza. You call it deep dish pizza lasagna. Lasagna and a pie, right? That's a good one.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's funny.
Hey, I'll take it. I like lasagna too.
Lasagna's great. Hey, so Gary, we're going to talk about 2 things. We're going to talk about, Rex Ryan getting interviewed for the DC position. Your thoughts. But I know we touched on this last week too. We touched on why we think that Bill Belichick didn't land a job. We talked about kind of the old school way and kind of we're in a new era too. So, but I want to make sure you kind of get your thoughts in about what's happening with Rex Ryan. Does that make you excited? Sorry, I'm not laughing at you. I'm just kind of like interesting about the situation. Go ahead.
You're laughing with me?
I would love it for Dallas.
Well, first of all, I read an article today that the Falcons did offer Belichick a job, and he turned it down. Is that what you've read?
Yeah.
Probably because he wanted too much control or whatever, like we talked about last week. As far as the Cowboys, they've Rex Ryan, Rivera, Zimmer, the 3 guys that they've taken looks at. But
that's your guy.
I don't know. I don't know who I want. I don't know if I trust Rex Ryan.
I trust Rex Ryan as a DC. I wouldn't trust him as my head coach. I think some people are just designed to be defensive or offensive coordinators. If Rex Ryan's so focused is to shut your offense down as defensive coordinator. I think Rex Ryan can excel in that role. I don't necessarily want Rex Ryan as my head coach, but if my DC to come back and try to say, hey, I ain't lost the fastball in this blue white, talk and shop and get up in the morning. I'm not necessarily mad at that. I don't know about Ron Rivera. I just feel like right now it might have passed him by. He might need a second to take a breath. He might need a job in somewhere else and then come back and get recharged. But, I love Mike Zimmer. I thought he should have been the coach after they fired Marvin Lewis. But Rex, you got to think about the defenses that Rex Ryan had. Like, he's not a great head coach. But, again, if you let Rex Ryan just be in charge of the defense and talk to those dudes and get them motivated, I'm not upset with that hire. I don't think it's passing back to that point. I wouldn't want to be my head coach, though.
Yeah. And what the problem with that is it's going to depend on what McCarthy does this year, because this is probably going to be his last year. So
he's a lame duck coach, right?
Why, if I'm Rex Ryan or these guys, am I going to want to
– You're already saying the Cowboys have a bad year.
You know?
Stop it.
I mean, I wouldn't want to go for a year and then figure out what whoever's head coach is going to bring in his guys, whatever. I don't know that would be something I would really be wanting. I think they'll probably end up having to go, internal with, Joe Witt or Al Harris or whoever,
Come on, man. That's not how he works, bro. He's going to want to make a splash. Jared's going
to
want to make a splash.
I know he's going to want to make a splash. I just don't think he's going to be able to.
Okay.
Well, I agree with JQ. Okay. I think Rex Ryan will be a great defense coordinator, but I also like Mike Zimmer. Mike Zimmer has had a lot of success on the defensive side of the football. So, I think if you get one of those two, I like those two guys more than like Ron Rivera, my personal opinion.
Zimmer, I think, would be a splash. Zimmer, I like.
But, yeah, I don't think you can go wrong with Mike Zimmer and Rex Ryan, what they have brought to the game on the defensive side of the football. They both have had a lot of success. Zimmer has had a little bit of success as a head coach. I don't think you go wrong with either one of those two guys. Their experience, they've been off for a little while, but I don't think the game is passing too much. I like those two guys more than I would go with Ron Rivera if I'm a Cowboys executive or a fan.
One Zimmer with Deion? In Colorado or in Texas State, I thought he was with Deion on one of those staffs. Did he not take that job?
I think he was with Jackson State for a while.
Yeah, he was from sort of
Golden, not every
advisor
day,
or something.
So he's not all the way removed like Rex Ryan. Like, he's not all the way removed. Still.
Yeah,
not,
absolutely.
Not all the way. Plus we need those sideline shots to Mike Zimmer, because Mike Zimmer hated Kirk Cousins' guts. He didn't sign off on that. Kirk Cousins was forced upon him, and he let us know every week when he would get mad at Kirk. But this also shows that Eric Bieniemy should fire his agent.
Russell Wilson.
Exactly. But this also shows that Eric Bieniemy should fire his agent, because in the NFL ecosystem, owners watch TV, and Rex Ryan, somehow, by sitting out and getting on TV, has raised his profile up back again to where he's actually entertained their offense. So, Airbnb, you shouldn't have taken that lateral move to Washington. You should have took your ass to TV, brother.
And one last thing about Mike Zimmer, and I brought it up when we were on there. When Mike Zimmer, I think when Mike Zimmer's wife died, when he was the defensive coordinator of Cincinnati, that when they won that game, I forget who they played, they shut him down. They gave him that game ball, and all those dudes got around him and cried and hugged him up and loved on him. That's when I told them on this call, I said, man, if something happens to Marcus, he should be the next coach. I was like, not only is he producing on the field, you could see these dudes are ready to run through a brick wall for this dude. They were all choked up, hurting for him, right? So you see a coach connect with his team, and then they also produce on the field. Yeah. I love me to Mike Zimmer. I think Mike Zimmer would be a fantastic defensive coordinator. I don't know what's happening, or if he just wanted to take a rest in the NFL, but I think Mike Zimmer is a great defensive coordinator. That showed me how much he meant in that building, the way they rallied around him.
Exactly. The only problem with Mike Zimmer is he's a truth teller who doesn't hobnob well, like some of these other folks who go in there with ownership and they get ownership to love on them. Zimmer is a straight shooter, man. So that's the only thing.
Yeah, that's true.
Two too much of a straight shooter. That's his problem. The baby's like, what? You can't say that. It's all good.
Yes, you can.
You know what I'm saying, you know. Maybe the dingo HL baby. Hey, Gary, just kind of circle back. Yeah, it's interesting how you heard some reports that Bill Belichick was offered the Atlanta job. He turned it down because of situation, you know, kind of blowing up things in the building. And just, you know, if he gets that job, you kind of scorch the earth because it's kind of like Game of Thrones, like I talked about last week. You know, you're the football guy. You're going to have to compete against what Bill says, and everyone's kind of scared of that too. But if reading that,
Andre,
I was like, huh.
Andre, that man wasn't gonna report to Rich McKay. He said, "Well,
he sure was not.
I got a report to Rich McKay. I'm not doing
that." He was like,
that.
"Nope, I ain't doing that bullshit." And then so they had to like, well, this is my structure. But I still think that, and I'll give
on to next
more
year
credit because.
Giant.
He was like, yo, this is a good opportunity. So he embraced that. So one man, you know, you turn it down and Raheem, like, it's hard to get a job, man. There's only 32 of those jobs, right? So you got it. Put your stamp on it. Put your stamp on the organization. And, you know, I know it kind of took a while for everyone to kind of embrace it. But, you know, we'll see. It's kind of a situation to prove it. So we'll see.
I talked to one of my buddies, and he made a great point. I was like, maybe he takes a year off, and he's just waiting on Dabo to get freaking firing the Giants, and he goes full circle back to the Giants where he was the defensive coordinator for those Super Bowl runs, and they say, hey, we gave Daniel Jones, we made this mistake, GM ain't doing great, coach ain't doing great, why don't you come back home? They say he still really got a good relationship with the Maher family. It might be one of those things where he takes the air and recharges his batteries, and he was eyeing that from the get-go. He stays in the NFC, so we have to deal with all those damn AFC quarterbacks, and he goes back home to the Giants and tries to bring that thing full circle. That makes a ton of sense if you Bill Belichick, because they might say, hey, these two dudes in the building, our GM and our coach, they suck. You can have all of it. Come on, bring us back to comments. Back to when you was the DC. Like, that.
The problem with that is they're going to be in a full-on rebuild. If he's the age, what, he's 71 or 72, right? So, 71. And he wants to win those 14 more games or whatever it is to get the all-time record. It may take him a couple of years to get 3 years to get there with the Giants.
I don't know what the Giants' cap situation looks like, so I'll withhold judgment on that because you don't always have to do it through the draft. If your cap situation is good and you can move off of Daniel Jones and if whoever takes these losses this year and you get in the top 5 or 10 this year, right, and you're able to get a quarterback and then you're able to build some of that through free agency and through the draft, Look at Houston. Who thought Houston was making the playoffs and going to win a playoff game this year based off what happened last year? So it can turn around quickly in the NFL.
Yep, you can.
Yeah,
the only thing I worry about with
Bill is I compare him to Phil Jackson, where his type of discipline only works if you're winning. And if you're on a marginal team, you might get players to have basically a mutiny. With you if you're not winning and you're doing all that Bill stuff. But,
that's true.
The Giants, that's a good landing, I guess a good landing spot. But, man, that Daniel Jones thing, dude. Because, like, all of us on this line, we know what Daniel Jones can do.
Yeah.
Is he terrible to where you should cut him and cut bait? Or is he good enough to where if you build it around him with his mobility, you might be able to get more out of him than people think? Like, where are you going?
I don't trust his accuracy in his decision making.
Well, he's obviously good enough to be a backup on somebody's roster, that's for sure. But yeah, we just haven't seen enough out of him. he's definitely good enough to be a backup on somebody's roster.
I agree with that as a spot starter. But like, I don't trust him to say, hey, I'm going to the season. I got Daniel Jones. We're going to the playoffs. No, I just don't feel like anybody thinks that way about him.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, last year there was a lot to do with Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
Yep. He said, "Bless your heart."
No.
Wow.
Yeah, bless your heart. No.
You know, getting back to the Belichick, you know, I know we talked a lot about this on last week, and I know you're not supposed to discriminate on hiring, but when you look at these organizations, you got to question the fact. that he's 71 years old. And,
yep.
And when, a lot of coaches get fired after 3 to 5 years, right? But when these organizations are hiring a coach, they're looking for the best case scenario of having this guy for 10 to 15 years. I know it's a rarity, but that's what they want. And at 71 years old, 10, 15 years is going to take you to close to 86 years old. Belichick maybe is going to coach 2 to 3 years. And so I think that has a lot to do with it. Bill Belichick is stubborn. He's going to want his way. And I think Andre alluded to this already. I know a lot of scouts don't want to work with him because they say he overrode a lot of scouts' decisions on drafting.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had 8 openings and not a team hired him. And we don't know if that's true or not, whether or not the Falcons offered him that job. I mean, I heard that was like a former player made that assessment. We don't know if that's true or not. But still, even if the Falcons did offer him, 7 other teams did not. And, I mean, to me, that says a lot about that. I don't think teams trust him at this stage of his career. And, he probably went into the interview sessions. Well, Chuck, only one team really interviewed him, so I can't even say that.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. You're right. But you watch the Rams, I'll use that as an example, load up and say, hey, F them picks, F everything else, we want a Super Bowl ring. So depending on where he goes, I'll give you 2 or 3 or 4 years. But if you give me a ring one of 3 or 4 years and I have to start over, you can never take this championship away from me. You know what I mean? So depending on what situation he goes through.
He can build a championship team in the last 3 to 4 years.
Well, I don't know if he goes somewhere and gets all the control like he wants. The Giants is just something I'll point out there. It's maybe something where he can go. Maybe he ends up going somewhere where they're close and they just see somebody make better decisions, but the roster is more made for him. They need his level of discipline to bring him into the right situation. I think an owner will say, I'll give you this right now for 3 or 4 years. If I get a ring in 3 or 4 years and I don't have no rings, I'm okay to start over in 3 or 4 more years, but what you can't take is that trophy off the mantle. So I hear what you're saying. It's, some people are long-term viewers, and some people want that quick fix. Come on, baby.
Yep.
They want that quick fix, and they want to get that ring now. So it depends on that situation. Because if I can get a ring, I feel like I'm this close, and he puts me over the edge, but I'm only going to have him for 4 years, I'm still going to go in with those 4 years and start over in 4 years. But if I get that trophy, it was worth it.
It better be a team that's already got everything in place, because he's not proven at this stage of his career that he's able to build a football team. As a matter of fact, he's more deteriorated a football team. And hey, Gary, we got a guy in Atlanta that just started working on a ramp in the 70s, man. All the guys call him all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They gave man a nickname all the time.
And then can he play the good soldier?
Wow.
Is he determined to always be the guy who has to say the thing and everybody else has to bow down? Because I'm not sure about those reports. Like Gary said, hey, this is out there. You might as well read about it and learn about it. But I think the contention was he wanted more, and they weren't willing to offer. They like, look, dude, you're coming in as a coach. You will report to Rich McKay. You will listen to Arthur on the dictates. And no, you're not running. You're not drafting Nikhil Harry again, dog. You're not letting me do that.
Not Nikhil Harry. That's terrible.
You could just see Bill Belichick being stubborn in the interview, man. If you tell him that too, man, you can just see it.
Yeah.
So,
Why
I even interview for this job? My track record speaks for itself. But that's funny.
He probably wouldn't have a short-sleeve hoodie on too.
That's funny. He probably did, but no, we don't know how the interview process works. I will say, still great was he took a lot of cast offs and was able to kind of like do some really good things. Remember, like the Corey Dillon to the world. The Reddy Mosses of the world. The only person didn't work with Chad Johnson, a whole other conversation. But, again, he was able to take certain players.
Yeah.
Do some big, good coaching does that too. But,
in his prime, he was the best in the business. Hey, Bill Belichick's probably going to go down as the best coach in NFL history, at least right now. It might be somebody else to come along. But, just saying that this stage of his coaching career, is he a right fit for any organization? Now, Hey, I've seen Bill Belichick come up with some of the best defensive schemes. You know, you go back to when he was a defensive coordinator with the Giants, when they played the Bills in the Super Bowl, when they went to that two-man rush and drop nine and coverages, confused Jim Kelly.
That's the entire game.
I mean, I've seen some of the best coaching jobs ever come from Bill Belichick, but I just don't know if he's – and then you look at the hours these guys put in, man. Nick Saban said it best. He's like, look, I'm 72. I don't know if I have the energy to put this much time into it. And Nick Saban is in better shape than Bill Belichick, right? And they're about the same age. And so, I mean, you're talking 20-hour – during the season, you're talking 18, 20-hour days. That's tough to do at that age.
Right. And another side of it is all the innovations you made are standard now because everybody else copies what you do. So if you don't have the next level of innovation from the spread going to the NFL and then the spread being everywhere now and people doing different things, are you just bringing up your old stuff that you did? Like I said, I think he's Phil Jackson at this point. And you got to wonder if, like, bruh, you in that triangle, bruh, everybody's doing that now. They're running inbounds plays off the triangle. That triangle's dead as a complete offense because everybody's taking what you've done. So this gets kind of funky for Bill. And then is your motivation to get this record and that's it? Or is your motivation that you got to prove to people who I think, you know, wrongly think that Brady deserves more credit than you when you deserve a whole lot of that credit too? Because Bill's one of the best to ever do it, but at this stage, there's a lot of questions. So
yeah, I think the Super Bowl is the ultimate thing for him. He wants to win one because Brady won one without him. I think that's what he ultimately wants one, and he'll walk out the door.
That's his motivation.
I think the best role for Bill Belichick right now is to go somewhere and be an advisor. I think that's the best role for him at this stage of his career, just my personal opinion.
Good stuff.
He wants that ring.
We got 3 minutes here. He's going to, you know, but it's like if you know what you're getting into, you might as well, like, hey, help me help you. You know what I'm here for. This ain't we all know what this is going to be at the end of the day. We got 3 minutes here, literally.
But Dre,
not gonna have time.
If he gets to a presser and heats up the GM and the choices that are being made, what do you do as a franchise? That's where it gets tough.
That's true. Yeah, that's rough. That's rough. Yeah, like I said, we spent a lot of time talking about a lot of interesting topics. Can't believe that Bill Belichick took a lot of that time. Rob, we got 2 minutes here. We're getting ready to wrap this up. I want to say thank you for posting the mock draft. I think you did it to 5 rounds, I want to say. You did, like, all the way to 5, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
So good job on that. Check out the Talking Sports page. You had us drafting a tight end. I don't know if we would riot if that happened, even though it is Brock Bowers. It's kind of tough, man. If everything else happened, you move Kyle Pitts to wide receiver. That would be dangerous. I'm not totally against that. I'm just saying, remember, like you said last week, I don't know what the Falcons fans would do. We act like, oh, my God. Yeah, Georgia fans would be.
The name of the game is weapon.
That dude is a game changer. It is. We got
the name of the game is weapon.
Now, who's the trigger man? Again, that's a whole other conversation. That,
you
that's
saw
kind
Rob
of scary. That happened. Like,
and Aaron Hernandez, before Aaron Hernandez got in that trouble, man, that was a dynamite, too. I'm not saying Kyle Pitts and Brock could be that dynamite, but, man, they had a dynamite 1-2 punch at the tight end position. The name of the game is weapons. You get them on the field. Yep, it's like basketball now. It's become a positionless game. You put your 5 best players out there, right? You know, if it's 5 forwards, you're going to put them 5 forwards out there.
<You know? laughs> I like Dallas Turner, too. We need Ed, too, at some point. But, yeah, keep going.
Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of our live portion of the show on tonight. We're going to be back at you on next Wednesday night, East Coast. We want to hear from y'all from Philly to Miami.
No, no,
no. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. What's going on?
That's Valentine's Day, bro.
Oh, yeah. No, we can't do that. Yeah. Well,
cake time.
We doing Tuesday next week?
Yeah, possibly.
All right, y'all listening. Thank you, JQ. Tuesday, I got a Valentine's sign behind me. I should know better, right? Next week, stay tuned. But we're gonna plan for Tuesday night on next week. It's gonna be 11 p.m. Eastern on the East Coast Central Time Zone, New Orleans to Chicago. It's gonna be 10 p.m. in Mountain Time Zone, 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time, and West Coast, Los Angeles. Man, y'all got a lot going on in L.A., man. You got the Dodgers coming up, you know, with their team. You got Jim Harbaugh going to the Chargers. You got the Lakers
got
trying to make a run right now. So, USC's crying. Lincoln Riley talking trash going to the Big Ten. So, a lot going on in Hollywood. We want to hear from y'all next week, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on the West Coast. Good night, people.
Yes, sir. I don't give a damn pooping on Sunday. I hope the Super Bowl ass is good.
Hey, Steve Spurrier's got a great steakhouse in Gainesville, by the way.
I'm sure he does.
Mm-hmm. I would pay just if Spurrier was in the house that night just to hear one of them lines. Shout out to Spurrier, man. Can't spell UT without Citrus. Can't spell Citrus without UT. Like, bro, that man had bars. And JQ Spade Rob, shout out to him. He don't have to hear. I find it funny how JQ saved you from a beatdown, brother. So shout out to JQ.
No. Don't lie to the people. No, we're not doing that.
That is Steve Furrier, man. He called Billy Napier Sunbelt Belly. No, Sunbelt
Billy. Sunbelt Billy, boy. That is the best.
When you're 80-something, man, you can say anything. But Spurrier, he said anything in his 30s. He didn't care.
I was going to say, he's a wild boy.
Did he call FSU Free Shoes University or something like that?
Yeah.
100%.
That man had bars, bro.
Yeah, no. Not being able to spell Citrus without UT, though, is up there, though. That is a shot.
Hey, that and the Auburn Library, they start 20 books. The problem was they hadn't been colored yet or something like that. Remember that?
Called the man Sunbelt Billy.
Sunbelt Billy can't even handle the pack.
Sunbelt Billy. That's a win right there.
Do you understand how bad Bill Fulmer and them dudes was?
People in Knoxville are going cartwheels over 76 or something nuts.
Oh, man. It was going off. Oh, man.
All right. I got to roll.
All right, gentlemen. All right, have a great rest of your week. See you next week.
Yes, sir. Nice.